All right, let's try that. There we go. Let's start all over. Welcome, everyone. I'm glad you blew in and made it today. Hope it was a great morning for you. Got your coffee, made your way in. Those of you who don't drink coffee, I'm praying for you, all right? So thank you for that message. Give me Jesus. That certainly should be the heart of every one of us. Give me Jesus. You can have the rest of the world, but give me Jesus. And I like that song. It's a great song. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a drive or a desire to do something that you knew that you had to get done? I mean, it's just, you could not do it. You know, you have this drive to accomplish perhaps this purpose or this calling in your life. God places that in our lives, I think, in many ways to show us why we're here and what our purpose is. When God called our family to Fairfield several years ago here, remember we came with the same compelling mission that God gave to my wife and I when we were just teenagers, and that is that we wanted people to know Jesus. And the reason why is because Jesus is so wonderful. I mean, to know Jesus, it's the greatest life. There's no better life. And God began to work in our hearts, and God convicted us when we were just young teenagers that we're to tell others about the love of Jesus Christ. That's what our life was about. That's what God called us to do. Now, there's a passage in Matthew where God points out to us what this is about. It's our purpose and our aim. It's what our life is about. And I've been preaching a series, and this is the last in the series, When God, and in this one, I want to speak on the subject when God compels. When God compels. Can we pray first, if you'll join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, today we know that you are compelling people. Lord, we know that you are speaking to people's hearts and lives. And I pray that today be no different. Lord, in this service, that you would help us as we open the Word of God, that you would, Lord, help us to set aside all the things and worries about yesterday and tomorrow, and just listen as you speak to our hearts today. Lord, we pray that you would guide us in this service. And if there's one here, Lord, who is not yet a Christian, I pray that today that they would realize what a distinct honor and joy it is to know you as Lord and Savior. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife and I had to decide, we had to make a decision. Are we just going to be just a Christian that goes to church, maybe whatever time of week, and goes, and that's all we're going to do, just go to church? Or are we going to take it serious enough to say, well, being a Christian is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week relationship? That for us, it was not going to be just that we would just sit and relax and kind of drink up and enjoy, but that for us, God had a purpose. In Matthew chapter 28, here's what the Bible says. If we can get this to work. The Bible says in Matthew 28, notice what it says. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God says that this is our commission. It's called the Great Commission. It's been called that. Teaching them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, this mission burned in our lives, in our hearts. And this mission we must not fail. You know, when God compels us, when God moves in our hearts, it becomes very personal. In other words, for us, it becomes a compulsion, all-consuming. And this is no different for the early church either. They saw it that way. They saw that for them, that was their mission. That was their purpose. That was what God wanted them to do. Now, we have a vision statement. And our vision statement says, we want to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. But rooted in that statement is the Great Commission. It underlies what it is. It's our understanding as we apply it in our context of what God wants us as a church to do. The mission is lived out in the community. The mission is also here in our church, inside the doors of our church. In the first century, we're introduced to a man who many people know, and a few don't know. His name was Paul. Paul became a follower of Jesus. He became a believer, and he was called to be an apostle, so he's now called the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had, for him, the same compelling mission that God lays on the hearts of the early church. And we find here that Paul writes about that. If you take your Bibles or your app or whatever you have and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll be looking at verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 16. I had someone tell me they didn't like the fact that people don't carry a leather Bible when they come. I'm just really glad they bring their Bible however they get it here. Now, I carry one, and I carry it, but I'm glad that we have the Word of God in whatever way God has given to us. It's a blessing, whether you have it on your phone or whatever. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 16. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "For though I preach the gospel," now the gospel is that Jesus Christ came, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and he is our hope of forgiveness and having a relationship with God through what he did for us. That's the gospel. The Bible says that Paul writes, it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." In other words, Paul is saying, look, there's nothing great about me. It's not me, the messenger, that we're talking about. It's Jesus who is the master that's important. So I don't have anything to boast about. So the mission, Paul says, that he has, is it's not something that I can say is about me, but it's about Jesus. All right, so he goes on. And here's what he says. He says, "For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been compelled to do something you should not do? Anyone ever had? All right, let me give you an example. One day I was driving down the road, and there came this car racing behind me and cut me off and cut off other cars along the way. Now, I don't know what it is, but for me, I could not take that as a Christian. Okay, I had to let him know. And so I decided that, you know what? No one's around. Church isn't around. I'm going to let him know about it. So I drove down the road, got in the other lane, got around some other cars. And I wanted this guy to know, you did wrong, and I just want to let him know about it. And so when I got up there, as I was getting close, here comes an officer. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. pulling him over. And then I kind of slowed down a little bit, waited till I got off. And then as I drove by, I just blew the horn and waved at him as I went by. Sometimes I'm just compelled to do things wrong. But let me tell you this about being compelled to do something wrong. This is not what we're talking about here. It's the opposite. But it's still the same intensity. It's still that same drive. It's still that same, whatever I got to do, I got to do it. I'm just driven by it. I just can't get it away. I can't get rid of it. I can't just toss it out. I've got to do that. And Paul's writing, and here's what Paul is saying. He's saying that here, you've got to do something. Now, you know, if today you are not a believer, a Christian yet, I just want to tell you, welcome. We are so glad you're here. You know, one day we had a guy come, and he said, you know, I had to come today. He told me after the service. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I just had to be there. He said, I knew I had to come today. It was just something I had to do. And he said, but it wasn't easy. He said, I woke up and my child was sick. Then when I opened the door, my dog ran away. Then when I went out to get in my car, the car wouldn't start. He said, but I knew I had to be here. And God worked in his life. And he became a believer that day. So I want you to know that sometimes that compulsion is just simply that God just wants us here. God wanted to do something in our life. If you're a Christian today, perhaps God is speaking to you. Maybe it's compelling you. There's something that you need to do. That you are like I would be saying, wait, you know what? We want to do something. And God has given us this mission. And God has laid that on our hearts. Well, Paul is saying this. I am deeply compelled. I want to carry that mission, the message that Jesus Christ did come to this earth, that Jesus Christ did die for man's sin, that Jesus Christ did rise again. Thank God he rose again. This is the hope of forgiveness. This is the real hope we're talking about in the mission statement. This is the real hope the world needs. And that's in Jesus. Now, Paul describes this when he is compelled by God. He describes it in these verses. And if you'll call, let me call your attention to what he's saying. Number one, he says it was a calling. It was a calling. He's saying that for me, that God so worked in my life, that God so stirred within me this mission that he called me. He wanted me to take this personal. It's like an internal fire. Jeremiah describes the same calling this way. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, it was so personal for Paul, and so all-consuming, and it was for Jeremiah as well, that God so moved in his heart that nothing else mattered. He just wanted to fulfill what God had spoken to his heart about. By the way, this calling of God is written all over the pages of Scripture. We find that many of the men and women in the Bible, God was speaking to their heart, and God called them to a particular mission. But every one of those missions, even though they may be individualized in where God sent them and what God wanted them to do, every one of them had one common root, one common purpose, and that is to spread the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. In the Old Testament, Jesus was to come. The New Testament, Jesus did come. I think of Abraham when he was called out, and Joseph when he was called to deliver Israel, and Moses when he was called to lead the nation, and Joshua is called to lead them into the promised land. I think of Samuel was called to be the prophet, and David was called to conquer nations who sought to destroy the nation of Israel. And not to mention Hosea and Joel, Amos and Obadiah and Jonah, others who were prophets, who were preaching, encouraging, delivering the message of God, every one of them always giving the mission and fulfilling the mission God had for them. The apostles were called, and God has called every one of us today with this mission of getting the good news to our world. Getting that message. And Paul said, oh, this for me, it's a calling. But second of all, he said that it was a necessity. Now, necessity means it is the greatest and highest priority in our Christian life. It's a necessity. Now, this is not the first time we've seen that. We saw that actually in the life of Jesus. If you remember when Jesus was on earth, Jesus was going around, he was spreading his message and telling others about his hope. And Jesus had came to a place where others were not welcome. And Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Because you see, there was someone there. There was a woman that needed the hope of the gospel. And Jesus went to tell her. He says, I must needs. Now, what Paul is saying for us is that the highest priority of the Christian life is that of getting the gospel out, getting the gospel to those around us. The mission, helping real families experience real hope in Jesus. That's what it was about. I mean, nothing else mattered. He was so deeply moved. The passion of his life, greatest desire was to get the gospel. But then thirdly, it was a commitment. It was a commitment. Here's what he says. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. How many of you have ever heard someone say something like this? You know, I don't make commitments. How many ever heard something like that? I don't make commitments. Well, let me just tell you, that's really not true, because life is built of commitments. It's just we choose which commitments we're willing to make. Because we all do. We all make commitments. Let me just help you with a few. How many agree with me that marriage is a commitment? How many agree with that? Amen? How about children? Yeah. How about a job? Try getting a job with no commitment. Wouldn't that be great? How about children? Let's try it one again. How about children? Is that a commitment? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How about a house? Yeah. Even today, when you say, well, I'm not going to commit to buying one, well, you have to lease one or lease a place. How about a car? Is that a commitment? Well, there's insurance, gas, oil, and everything else that goes along with that. Someone said, well, you know what? In the New Testament, they didn't drive cars. No, they rode horses. Let me ask you a question. Would it be a commitment to a horse? What are some things that you do? I won't put that in your mind. What I'm saying is life is built around commitments. For us to somehow think that, you know, that we have this, you know, that we're not going to make any commitments to God. Can I tell you something? God's made commitments even to mankind. He was so committed, he was willing to come to this earth and die on the cross for us. That he would provide salvation, so forgiveness through his son Jesus. Hey, that's commitment. Paul traveled on 3 missionary journeys carrying the gospel to both religious and non-religious people. But as you study his life, you're going to learn that Paul was committed to the mission of getting the message to those places. Now, when you look at his life and you study it and you study the New Testament, you're finding that wherever he goes, he's going to have to use different approaches because he's going to deal with different kind of people. You know, when Janet and I came here in 1992 to Fairfield, California, I just want to tell you something. It was a different world then than it is right now. How many of you understand it's a different world, right? 1992 is gone. But let's visit it for just a moment so we could think of how different it is. For example, in 1992, what was the most popular TV program? Home Improvement. How many of you ever heard of Home Improvement? Remember that? How about this one? Here's the second one. Murder, She Wrote. Remember the British lady? How about this? What was the most popular movie in 1992? Aladdin. Someone said Gunsmoke? Come on, Bob. That was 1922, okay? So none of us were around then, sir. Aladdin. That was it. How about this? What was the most popular technology on the market then? Motorola had just developed their first digitized hand cell phone, and Windows 3.1 was released with MS-DOS. How many of you remember that? Some of the younger kids are like, we weren't even around. We don't know. Still in your diapers, right? How about this? The favorite toy for the girls was the girls, I got to make sure I get this right, girls Barbie's Dream House. And the boys was the Crash Dummies Crash Test. That's what they wanted. You know, for years, it seemed like our world was always the same. Did you notice that? But we've had a dramatic change since 1992. In the world. It's very different. You know, for years our church, we've always been very, very methodic about how we do things, and we've did things regularly. We've always done things a certain way on a regular basis. And we praise God for how God's used that, and we're able to minister to people, and how God has changed lives. But about 3 years ago, things started changing. I don't know, it was a culture. I'm going to tell you this, the Word of God never changed. The gospel's not changed. But the world that we are preaching to today is not 1992. It's 2017. Different world. We begin to see a decline in baptisms and salvations and church memberships and people making commitments and guests coming and all of those things. And we said, God, what is going on? What do we have to do? And what do you want us to do? And God began to show us some things. So we began to ask God to show us. God asked us to do some things that are a little uncomfortable for all of us. To do some things that we might not change the message, just how can we reach people better? How can we be effective? I mean, we still preach the message. The message is Jesus. Amen and amen. But I learned that in 1992 and 2016, I only have the statistics up to 16, that people begin to see God differently. In 1992, people were still kind of thinking about God and church and where they were and what their relationship to God was. In 2017, that's not even a part of their thinking for many. In 1992, 56% of the people surveyed by a Gallup poll of all things, they said they were Protestant. And 7% said they had no church preference. Now listen to this. In 2016, 37% people said they were Protestants, and 18% say they have no church preference. Dramatic difference. How many of you realize we are in a different world than we were in 1992? I mean, agree with that. A different world. Some of the changes have been good. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like having a computer that I can get in touch with the world. But how many of you also understand that has dramatically changed our world? And even though the numbers are not encouraging, one thing is encouraging is the gospel is still the same. People still need Jesus, and Jesus can make a difference in people's lives. And while it seems like the world is just kind of like on a fast track of changing, the gospel can change lives right where people are. Last Sunday, we had our first family connection night. And it was fun. I mean, it was enjoyable. It was different. We wanted to see how God would use that. And man, what a blessing it was. People, we had guests come. And we had two of our guests say that we're coming back. Had some people say God really spoke to their hearts. And Eric preached a whole series of messages that night. I'll tell you. I'm only kidding. I mean, you know. One of our guests came after being invited for over 2 years, they finally came. God is using that. Praise the Lord. You invited, and God responded, and God brought them, and people are responding to the message. They're listening. But keep in mind, the mission is not confined to the church building. The mission that Jesus gave us is to go into the community. And today's community is different. I mean, we have to build relationships today. See, it used to be we would invite people, they came to church, then we built relationships. Today it's the opposite. We build relationships, get to know them, then we invite them. And we say, I don't like that. It changed before our eyes. We couldn't stop it. This is where we are today. This is what we're dealing with. You know, and so some of the methods that we've used in the past doesn't work because people don't think like that anymore. They don't trust. Trust is so important today. So vital. Church used to be attractional, but it's not attractional anymore. Not because the message, there's anything wrong with the message. It's maybe the way people see things differently. But I found out this, when God compels us as a church, all of us are important in the life of that church, every one of us. I mean, your friendliness, your encouragement, your commitment, and connection groups, and helping being a part of that. As God compels each of us, we're a part of the mission that God has both inside the walls and outside the walls of our church. But when people come, we encourage. How many of you agree with me that it's a tough world that we live in today? How many agree with that? Amen? I mean, sometimes people are beat up. It's so good to have a refuge, a place to come, to be encouraged. The writer of Hebrews says it like this. He says, and let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works. We encourage each other. That's why it's so vital. That's why it's so helpful to have that. Now, when my wife and I established a new church in 87, I think it was. When we established a new church in 1987 in Woodland, California, I remember that one of the things in establishing that church was we were just so excited that anyone would come. I remember the first Sunday, we had one or two families that said they're going to be there. They met us, and they wanted to be a part. And I remember we're standing there, just like four or five of us standing around the door, and we're just watching the parking lot to see if anyone pulls up in the parking lot. I remember when they came into the door, you know, when people would come in, and it wasn't, by the way, this wasn't just one Sunday, this was regular Sundays. Because as a church, we would pray together. We would get around together. We would pray and we would ask God. And it might have been four or five of us. I can remember many nights it'd just be one or two. And we would pray and we would say, God, please. The mission was clear. There was no doubt about it that what our mission was is just reach those people in our community. You know, I don't know what happened, but so much excitement. That church is going on for God. It's exciting. We'd all get excited when they'd come in. We'd greet them, give them a handshake, take them out for dinner, because we were just thrilled. Because that was our mission. That's what God compelled us to do. I don't know. I guess I got spoiled with that. I still get giddy when people come and are guests at our church. I get excited when people make decisions to want to follow Christ, want to get baptized, want to serve the Lord. I mean, just somehow it just stirs within me that renewal of what that is all about. And I look and I say, God, I want you to do it again and again and again and again and again. Remember, City, I think it was last week or so, in our last connection group 2 weeks ago, just for this semester, and we were sitting there and one of the teenagers were there. He made a comment on how he was in the he said hair lighter than his group. He was in the adult group. And all I could say is how much that he was so helped by adults who've lived much longer than he has and poured something into his life. That tells me something. Every person here is important. Whether you're a senior or you're 50 or whatever, you're important. You have so much to give to young people, to teenagers, to help us middle-aged adults and young adults. You give so much. You can encourage and you can help them with some of life's choices and some of the things that maybe they're struggling with, because it's tough out here. We're navigating in a world that is filled with so much of the wrong things, and yet we're trying to live for God every day, and you're important in that. We want to finish well like you are. You've shown us what it is to walk with God. We want that. Think of young couples that come in and struggle with so many things, and yet God makes all the difference in the world and how they can encourage each other. And then, boy, what would it be like being a teenager today? How many agree it would be a tough time to be a teenager? You know what is one of the most challenging things that teenagers face? Social media. Do you know how many social media sites there are right now? Does anyone know? 212. Now you think about 212. Can you imagine the pressure the teenagers must be under trying to fit into that and deal with some of that in their life? And teenagers know, they deal with it. They try. They work with that. And they ask God's help through that. They like the encouragement. Social media is probably the most powerful medium that we have of information today. It's so powerful that it literally shut down some of ESPN's jobs. How many of you remember like a couple weeks ago that over 100 people who are behind the cameras before people lost their jobs at ESPN? How many of you knew about that? Here's the reason why. The reason why is because you don't want to have to wait till that evening on SportsCenter to get the sports scores. You want them now. As they are in action, guess where you go? Social media to find that. That's the world we live in. It's a different world. But the mission is still the same. When God compels, when God moves us, when God wants us to do something for Him, when God compels us as a church, we're moved to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. This is where God is taking us. Someone said, well, what's a real family? Everyone makes up a real family. You're a single widow or widower, divorcee, couple with one kid, just a couple with no kids, retired couple who had kids and you got grandkids. Everyone is a real family. Because they all, everyone needs Jesus. And the compulsion, that compelling is, Lord, help us today to get the message of them to their hearts so they can know Jesus like we did. Not because we're good, but because He's great. Perhaps you're here today and you're not yet a Christian. And you just say, there's something I had to come today. I don't know what it is. I feel compelled. Perhaps God is compelling you to come and know Him as Savior. Or maybe just at least to find out more information. And we want to help you with that as well. Will you allow Jesus to be your Savior? Will you call on Him today? If you're a Christian, maybe God is compelling you as a believer to say, you know, man, my mission, while I can identify with what you're saying, I feel that compelling too from Jesus, that maybe I would take out more of those tracks and get that message out or build some relationships, intentional relationships, or make some things right with God today that I need to settle with Him. Or maybe get baptized or join or whatever God's speaking to you about. Oh, listen. When God compels, pretty powerful. Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Let's pray.